They were very accustomed to hearing that second reading about love. I almost probably 2/3 of the weddings that I do have that reading in there. Love is patient, love is kind. It seems like a rather unchallenging reading, I think. And that's bothering me. But I think that when you unpack it, it's kind of a difficult thing to do in reality. I had an update about someone I preached about 10 years ago. A few of you may remember this story. I'm going to tell it again anyway because it's one of my favorite life lessons. Life is a timed test. I kept this in mind all my life, is that we don't know what life is about if we haven't been listening to God. Everything we have here gets put back in the box for someone else to use. What do we keep that is our own? It is that it's based on relationship with the Lord, relationship with others. How I treated others is how I love the Lord. He was in disguise in all these different circumstances of life where we work out our salvation, where we work out what we've learned in the Gospels. That's where the rubber hits the road. In reality, it can be really rather difficult at times, especially when things are annoying or something like this. I remember before I became a priest, I went to daily mass, and I got an apartment at one point across the street from the church, and I began to, of course, I went to mass there, and I'd see the people there would, some would come early, and the thing was opened early. I began to come early to pray. In fact, I had a shift at the airline that started at 7:15 in the morning at one point, and I went to mass at 6:15 in the morning, and if you know me, know that's a miracle, like the second coming of Christ. Now, you know you got a vocation if you're going to do a thing like that. But later on, I got a shift that I liked. Everything's based on seniority. When you get a really good job, the seniority's bad, so you get a bad shift. Bad job, good seniority. See how it works. Eventually, I got a shift that started at 9 or 10 in the morning, which I liked much better. And I went to I think it was an 8 o'clock mass. And I'd come at 7 to pray, to get in to pray before the Blessed Sacrament. And there were people that would walk around chit-chatting with people, and you had to kind of offer that up. You know, they didn't come to pray, they came to chit-chat. You know how it is. All churches are the same. Well, anyway, I used to kneel there praying when I switched from the 6:15 to the 8 o'clock mass. Do you ever sit down in somebody's seat? Ooh. There's a reason we never sold pews when we built this church, I'll tell you. I think I sat in this lady's seat. So I was sitting there praying, and this lady comes up and kneels behind me about one person over. And I'm sitting there praying, and these two hands show up right next to me from the pew behind me. And there's all this room. You know, this church was about twice as big as the one we built. And you know how Catholics like to spread out, have a force field around each of us at daily mass? So there's all this room in there, and this lady is literally in the pew right next to me. I see these two hands, and I'm going, okay. Out comes the rosary. I meant to bring a rosary tonight, and I forgot. I hear this rosary bang against the pew. Bang, bang, bang. Rattle, 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 rattle. And I'm going, Hail Mary, full of grace. Well, you know, it's kind of rude to move, isn't it? To get up and move when somebody sits. Would you get up and move? Maybe you would have. I didn't glare at her. I just kind of sat there and thought, not sitting here again. You know, so she kept ending up behind me. I'd move to different spots, and not always, but she was behind me. And, you know, and it was, I don't know, I read something about St. Teresa of Lisieux, who in her autobiography, she said there was a lady that would rattle her beads or clear her throat or something all during the office, and rather than turn around and give her a dirty look, she decided she'd offer up that symphony of beads to God, you know, one of those kind of things. So I thought, I'll be St. Teresa of Lisieux, and I'll sit here and offer up this symphony, which I didn't do very well. And this part you might remember from 10 years ago. I called her Rosie the Rosary Rattler, this lady. Rosie the Rosary Rattler. So This song and dance went on, but I would come back periodically to visit while I was in seminary and later as a priest, and I still find her there. I think she worked for the post office. I got to know her a little bit. Her name wasn't Rosie, and I forgot what her name is, and I never told her that she bugged the heck out of me when she was at Mass. She said, "Well, you seem kind of holy, so I like to sit behind you." Well, I'm holier now than I was then. See, watch out for a lightning bolt. The reason I tell that story again, actually, is because I got some news from a friend of mine. He said, "You remember, not Rosie, but whatever her real name was, and her family actually sent me a note. She had dementia. This is why she was sitting doing what she was doing. See, she was in the process of going from where she was to where she was going, and she had died. And so I thought Rosie taught me a lot about life. You know, life is not the big things; it's being kind to in the small ways of life. People that she made a big difference in my life, and she didn't even know she did. I found Rosie everywhere in my life since then. You know, there's always a Rosie. After that last homily, I remember one lady came up to me after Mass, and she said, "You know, there's a Rosie where I work." I said, "Yeah, I think there's a Rosie where everybody works. Or, Rosie, maybe you're married to her." Or it's somebody at school or somebody we run into. You never know where she's going to be. Or maybe, and the lady was telling me, she said, "You know what? I discovered I'm Rosie too. I bug people. And people put up with me. And they're kind to me." And I think we're going to find out that's what was most important to God. Not the big things that we did, but the small things. The times that we were patient when we had every right to be upset. And somehow we managed to keep it somewhat to ourselves. Or went the extra mile for somebody. See, in the second reading, love is an action verb. These are not easy things. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not put on airs. It doesn't go around telling people what the square footage of my house is. Everybody knows that's not something anybody wants to hear. I remember going to my 10th high school reunion. I don't want to tell how old I am, but the 10th one was a long time ago. And people were kind of posturing. Have you ever been to these things? You're kind of, let's see how everybody looks, you know, and some of the ones that look great were not so great now, and how wonderful that made you feel. You know, when you get to the one that I went to last 2 years ago, we're just glad they're alive. Nobody gives a hoot about what they did or what they didn't do or whether they're still married or whatever. It's just, we're glad to see you. And in heaven, nobody cares about what you did on earth, except what we did for others is going to come with us. That's our wealth. That's what we're going to keep forever. And this is why Jesus really emphasizes this. And some of them are really hard. Love doesn't say, "I told you so," for the rest of your life. It doesn't hold on to grudges. It doesn't keep reminding people for the rest of their lives that you hurt me. And sometimes that's very difficult. Some people hurt us very badly. They wanted to, and they're not sorry. But you know what? The Lord forgave us for so much that this is when we really find out how Christ-like we are. Because Christ forgave everything that we've ever asked him to, especially in the sacrament of confession. So this gospel really is a rule of life. It's particularly a rule of life in marriage, since so many have heard it at their wedding. It's really a good thing to read periodically and say, how am I doing with the small people that I didn't notice? The people, you know, so many people, I remember one more story real quick before I finish. When I was at the airline, my mother came down with a brain tumor, and she was told she had less than 3 months to live. So I asked if I could have a leave of absence to kind of be there rather than put her in a nursing home. And she lived in 3 hours away. So I moved in there temporarily, and temporary turned out to be 1.5 years. So the company kept extending my overage leave of absence until the point where it was not possible to go any further. And I had a boss that bent the rules and let me stay on. And then when I finally came back, I still had my seniority, and I came back and I flourished there for a number of years after that before entering the seminary. But I had one woman came up to me I never had for a boss. Her name was Paula. She's, God rest her soul, she's deceased now. She came up to me. She had flaming red hair. And she said, I didn't even know who she was. She came up and she said, if I had been your supervisor, I would have fired you. Ooh, I said, I'm sure glad you weren't. But I had a chance to run into the one that kept me on all through that miserable period of life, at an airline reunion 3 years ago. And I said to him, I said to him, thank you for saving my job. And he said, it's the Christian thing to do, isn't it? See how one person's act of kindness changed my life? He didn't even realize how much it meant to me. You know what else he said? He said, pray for me. My wife is going to become a priest. Well, he was Episcopalian. So I said, well, what do I call you after she's ordained? He said, well, I don't know, but I'll find out. So you see how his faith was animating what he did. The other lady, God only knows, but I should pray for her soul, huh? Imagine how many other people she treated like that on the way up as she was climbing the ladder. I'll tell you which one I want to be. This is we have to be careful what we're choosing because we're going to become it. So this second reading is really a blueprint for living, and we pray that we can be, because we run into Rosie everywhere, and at times we're Rosie ourselves, the rosary bead rattler, we pray that we will be animated by that sacrificial love that Christ calls us to be.